Welcome to Oncology Data Advisor, where we explore the latest advances in cancer research and patient care. Thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to visit oncdata.com for more content, including expert perspectives from leading oncology thought leaders, FDA approvals, patient advocacy, and much more. And don't forget to subscribe to Oncology Data Advisor on social media to stay up to date on the latest videos, podcasts, and more.
Hi, and welcome to this Oncology Data Advisor interview. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Jeff Arajani from MD Anderson Cancer Center. Last year, Dr. Arajani served as one of the three co-chairs of i3Health's Virtual Tumor Board, building comprehensive care plans in esophagogastric cancers. Today, he's here to share some additional updates that have occurred in this field since the activity was launched. Dr. Arajani, it's a pleasure to have you on today.
Hi, thank you so much. So I think there are lots of changes, and there are also changes in the attitude, how, you know, we should approach, especially gastric, esophageal adenocarcinoma, and squamous carcinoma of the esophagus. So fortunately, as you well know, the landscape has been changing, and we haven't stopped yet because there are many other things to happen. Then I think the new emphasis is on biomarkers. So at the same time, I think one way to consider that is what is called the agnostic approvals. That list is expanding. And, you know, that list is really relevant to every patient one sees in your clinic. Because unless you test for those biomarker-driven agnostic approvals, you're not going to find out. In other words, if you don't check it, you'll never know. So that has become, you know, very important in patient management. The second thing is that the biomarkers that were traditional for gastric and esophageal adenocarcinoma, they have expanded now. And their role has changed. So for example, microsatellite status is now recommended for every patient. Before, it was limited to patients with metastatic disease, but now we know that even in localized patient who's about to have surgery or about to have preoperative chemo, if their tumor is MSI high, we are not recommending chemo or surgery for them. We're actually recommending immunotherapy. And this needs to be, you know, we need to advertise this in a professional manner to all of our colleagues so that, you know, patients get appropriate treatment. Some of these patients can entirely avoid surgery, which we never heard of before. But now we know that almost 30, 40% of patients don't even need surgery if they have MSI high tumor. So that's one. And then the approval of Pembro in this space added another PD-1 inhibitor. So patients with gastric, GE junction cancers, they can have Pembro plus chemo. Before we had approval only for chemo and Nivo. So that's a change. And just along the same lines, there's a drug called tislelizumab. This is another PD-1 inhibitor by a company called BeiGene. And they got approval for squamous carcinoma in the second line for those patients who have not had a PD-1 inhibitor before. And what's on the horizon we're all waiting for is the Claudin 18.2 as a target. So that's a brand new biomarker that is coming to upper GI tumors. And that will also help to treat a subset of patients that we haven't treated before. So the drug is ulpituximab, and we don't know when it will be approved, but all the data are already reviewed by the FDA on two trials, Spotlight and GLOW. So I think that will be an exciting new development in the area. Plus, it will be a challenge because every one of us will have to learn to check Claudin 18.2. which you don't even think about today. So that's that. And in HER2 space, there are additional results on KEYNOTE-811. And so there is a new facet to HER2 positive untreated advanced disease patient. So what the results show is that if the PD-L1 is negative, there's no advantage to adding pembrolizumab. So I don't know if you recall, FDA had approved addition of pembrolizumab a couple of years ago based on interim data. And PD-L1 expression was not specified, but now FDA has changed the approval. The label has changed and now specifically mentions that if the tumor is PD-L1 negative, you should not add pembrolizumab because they actually do worse. But if PD-L1 is positive, which fortunately is majority of the patients, pembrolizumab can prolong progression-free survival, but not overall survival. So I think these are the changes in upper GI tumors. So once again, to just emphasize that it's no longer like 10 years ago when patients came into your clinic, you gave chemotherapy and check HER2 only. Now you have to check all these biomarkers and adjust the treatment. That doesn't mean you cannot start chemotherapy because a lot of these patients are symptomatic. So you got to get going with chemotherapy, but as soon as the biomarker results are available, you adjust.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing this research with us. It was so wonderful to hear about all of the latest progress in the field. And to everyone listening, be sure to visit i3health.com if you'd like to view Dr. Ajani's full CME NCPD activity and claim credit. Thank you again.
All right. Take care.